We invite you to remain standing and receive the word of God. It comes to us today from Luke chapter 5, verse 33 to 39. They said to Jesus, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking." Jesus answered, "Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and in those days they will fast." He told them this parable. "No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it onto an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new. For they say the old is better." Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Holy God, I give you thanks for your word as it comes to us this morning. And ask for your blessing upon it. Give us eyes that can see, ears that can hear, and hearts and minds that can understand. And in understanding, Lord, may we then turn to you. And in turning to you, may we find healing for our very lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I've really been enjoying my spiritual formation group that's been meeting at my house on Wednesday nights. If you're not familiar, we launched this new thing this past month, where we're sending out an email that's like a spiritual formation kit talking about the upcoming service and discussing the scriptures and having prayers to pray together. And I find it's been great to like wrestle through the scripture before coming here on a Sunday morning. So, one, encouragement. If you haven't signed up for it, go to our website. Get signed up. You can get that email. And you'll also see where there's like six or seven different groups, spiritual formation groups, that are meeting. And you can, click on one of those and join that. So I encourage you to participate in one of our spiritual formation groups. So we've also been doing this new kind of artist thing. Dylan made that last week. That's awesome. And I love the fact that Seth LaDon made this for this week. It's like a great little contrast. So it can be simple. It can be complex. And Seth focused on the whole wineskin thing, which was great because we really wrestled through that in our conversation at my house on Wednesday night. But I'm not going to talk about that because that's really confusing. And you missed the conversation, so you should have been there. I'm going to focus on the first part of the scripture. Now, who here has ever tried a fad diet? Got any confessions to fad diets? Yes. I mean, there's like, South Beach is like the original one, right? The old no carbs and all proteins kind of thing. And then I know some of you, I saw your hands up too, some of you are into that, the whole 30 thing. Yeah, really? You want to whoop that? No sugar, no alcohol, no grains, no dairy, no caffeine. No way, is what I say. Crazy? You can eat meat, seafood, eggs, vegetables, and fruit, though, so that's good. There's a Mediterranean diet, which is like fish and veggies and wine. Then there was that whole Atkins phase. Remember, you know, eat bacon on top of your bacon, all the meat you want. Then I like this one, the paleo diet, which is like eat like the early cave people eat. You know, nuts, plants, fruits, mammoth meat, but I don't think we have much mammoth meat around anymore. Or there's biblically inspired ones, the Daniel diet. Have you ever heard of that one? Daniel's is like, it's like all, because Daniel went on a special fast at one point. It was like all veggies and water. And then there was one a while ago. It was like the cabbage soup diet. Anybody remember that one? Back in the day, in our early married days, Carolyn decided to do the cabbage soup diet, which was like you eat cabbage soup for, I don't know, like a ridiculous amount of days. Like, that's all you eat. I did not participate in this diet with her, but about 4 days into the diet, like the doorbell rang, and I went and answered it, and there was a Domino's pizza guy there. Cabbage soup diet over. Now, certainly, some of these diets may be more effective than others, but their purpose is always usually to try to, you know, promote a better sense of health, to help us lose weight. You know, it's all about, like, you know, this is a diet for you to make you feel better, be healthier. And most of the time, that involves abstaining from certain types of foods, right? Fasting. And Jesus here is, he's been questioned about fasting. And John's disciples are fasting, but Jesus' disciples are eating and drinking. And what's up with that? Now, Bible diets, i.e. fasting, you know, they have a lot different purpose than to promote, like, the physical health, right? Bible diets, fasting, more about spiritual things, desires. It's more about our interior space than our outward appearance. And often fasting was used to signify sort of a dissatisfaction, not necessarily with physical appearance, but with what was happening in the world. It was a response to things that were happening out in the world. So, I mean, there's some similarity, fasting and dieting. You know, we're usually dissatisfied with some aspect of ourselves when we start a diet. But Bible fasting was really a dissatisfaction with the way things were in the world. It was about the external circumstances of the community, too. Like, it's more about a communal effort. It wasn't necessarily about individual. It was more about community. So Bible fasting was meant to draw us into a greater understanding of who God is and what God is up to in the world. Psalm 69:10 talks about how fasting humbles the soul. It's about the spiritual, not the physical. And as I said, Old Testament fasting often was either in response to a great loss, some outward thing that has happened to the community, or an expression of some hope of what might be. Leviticus 23:27 marks out a fast for the Jews that was known as the Day of Atonement. It was their time of seeking forgiveness as a community for the sins of the people. And in Jonah, which we looked at this past summer, Nineveh, the whole city of Nineveh fasts after Jonah comes and tells them that God is a little bit upset with them. And so they repent and they fast, and it says even the animals. They even made the animals fast. Animals are probably not too pleased with that. But here we are, Jesus being asked about fasting. And John's disciples are fasting, but Jesus' disciples are not. I know which disciple I would have wanted to be at that point in time. You see, John's disciples have been fasting in expectation and in hope of the coming of the Messiah, of what God would do, of what God said he would do. Now, Jesus comes and says, hey, God has done it. Hope is present with you now. And then he alludes to the fact that he will be taken away and there will be once again a time to fast. So the question, we discussed a little bit on this on Wednesday night, is it a time to fast again for us? Are we being commanded to fast? In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus indicates that fasting was really an expected part of the spiritual life with God, along with prayer and giving. He ties them all together in this one chapter, and he warns against doing any of those things in any kind of, like, prideful or public manner. He says, look, when you fast or give, don't make a big deal out of it. He says, when you pray, like, do it in your prayer closet. When you fast, do not, like, anoint your head so that everybody will know you are fasting. You see, these are meant to be, like, humble expressions of the faith. And Jesus did not say, you must do, give, pray, fast. But he did say, when? Which seems to indicate to me an expectation that these would all be a part of the spiritual practices that his followers would need to follow. In the early Christian church, fasting was a very important part of what happened. There's this ancient text called the Didache. or also known as the teaching of the 12 apostles. One of the earliest texts we have about what the early church did and how they functioned. And it indicates that Christians were to fast every Wednesday and Friday. And John Wesley, the founder of the United Methodist Church, he picked up on this, and he would not ordain ministers unless they did the same. I'm glad I'm not Methodist. But I don't know if that's a requirement anymore, huh, Penny? But why fast? What is this thing of fasting? Well, I think fasting does several things. One thing it does is it like helps us to focus us on the concerns of God and not necessarily be always concerned with our own self. It can remind us of our like dissatisfaction with the way things are in the world and call us to hope that they can get better when we turn our attention back to God and understand how God then calls us to be hope in the world. Luke's critique in the Gospel of Luke, he kind of critiques the fasting of the Pharisees because it was done more as like a, it was more showing like who is in and who is out. It was like a self-righteous, the Pharisees anointing their heads and saying, "We are the holy ones. Don't you see how holy we are? We are the ones that fast." But fasting must be accompanied by acts of justice and mercy. So fasting helps us fix our attention on God, but also helps call us to acts of justice and mercy. And it fixes our attention on God. Wesley said this, "Let fasting be done unto the Lord with our eye fixed singly on him. Let our intention herein be this, and this alone, to glorify our Father, which is in heaven." Our church leadership here at Hot Metal has been in a process of kind of examining our mission, of looking at what is next for Hot Metal, of setting out some goals and some thoughts for 2017 and 2018. Some of this is for very practical reasons. Earlier in this year, our council and finance and personnel team agreed that we needed to restructure our pastoral staff by 2018 so that our community can be more financially sustainable. But there are deep spiritual reasons why we're doing this. More importantly, to explore what God is up to now in our community and what the mission is we are being called to. A couple weeks ago, I preached about the paralytic coming through the roof. And some of this is like discerning for us as a community, who is it we need to carry to Jesus? And how will we carry them to Jesus? As a part of our process, Lauren Wolcott came to our council meeting for a couple months. She led us through a process of visioning and goal setting, of examining who we are, what we do well, and what we think we might be called to do better. And there was like some really good stuff emerging out of this. And we're going to unpack this more fully at our all-church meeting coming up in November, I believe November 17th. But here, I wanted to share a little bit. I wanted to give you a little hint, a little taste of some of what we've been talking about. And one thing that we examined was our core values. And here's what we came up with as Hot Metal core values. Celebrate communion. Demonstrate compassion. Respect and appreciate differences. And seek justice. And I was really excited that these came out as our core values because that's our mission statement. And I did not ask Mike to read the mission statement aloud today, so that was beautiful. It was perfectly matched. But I was excited, like, yes, these are our core values. These are the things that we hope to live up to. And then a fun thing was you also, like, kind of consider your personality. Like, what's the personality of the community? Here are the five words we came up with for the personality of our community. Creative. That works. Inquisitive. I like that. We have a lot of conversation around here, a lot of wonderings. Kind-hearted. I think that's true. Steadfast. And then I think everybody's favorite one, quirky. Quirky. And then we're also invited to do this, to come up with the ultimate vision. What do we want to see happen? And Lauren said that this should be big. It actually should be something that's like pretty much impossible, but it is that thing which we are always striving for. Here's what we came up with. to see wholeness. No more lonely, hungry, homeless, or hopeless people in Pittsburgh. And for every person to understand their belovedness. Read that one more time. To see wholeness. No more lonely, hungry, homeless, or hopeless people in Pittsburgh. And for every person to understand their belovedness. Well, I think we did it. That's impossible. We accomplished that. That is no small thing to do. At least I was glad as I was rereading this, like, well, we kept it to Pittsburgh. So, you know, being somewhat reasonable. And we know it's impossible. Jesus said, like, you're always going to have the poor. They're always going to be with you. And yet, what a vision to seek and to live out, because it expresses how we're dissatisfied with the present. That we should be dissatisfied if there are lonely, hungry, homeless, or hopeless people. And it speaks to our hopes to the future, that we can make some small difference in the lives of those who may be lonely, hungry, homeless, or hopeless. So I want to invite you to participate in the Hot Metal spiritual life, to help us achieve this bold and ridiculous goal that we strive for in 2017, and to help us as we look towards 2018. As I said, the all-church meeting is, I think, November 15th. It's Tuesday of that week, whatever that is. But I'd love for you to mark it on your calendar to be there to hear more about what we're thinking. But between now and then, I would love you to also do this. To do those three things that Jesus marks out in Matthew chapter 6 as a spiritual practice. To give to this community. Because we need you to help us and help us participate in the financial sustainability of what we do here. And how we seek to help lonely, hungry, homeless, and hopeless people. I know some of you are signed up for online giving, and it's the best way to give. So maybe if you don't give regularly, consider how you can. Sign up, give. Mike mentioned we're going to be talking about our budget in the next couple weeks, and we're going to be inviting you to pledge for next year. So consider that. How can you give? And I invite you to pray, to commit to praying for this community, Hot Metal, every day from now until the meeting. And you know a simple way you can do that? You can take out your little phony phone and you can set a little like daily reminder for a time of day that might, maybe it's 8 a.m., maybe it's 10 a.m., maybe it's in the evening, maybe it's lunchtime, that your little phony phone will go do-do-do-do-do, and you'll be like, oh, it's my time to pray for Hot Metal. And even if it's as simple as, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, God hears that prayer. So I invite you to pray. And then I'm going to invite you to this, maybe the hardest one. Fast. Not a 40-day fast, don't worry. But what if you decided to fast just one or two meals a week? My personal plan, that I started this last week, is to fast on Wednesdays, to fast breakfast and lunch. Although I did have a protein shake at breakfast, and Bev insisted that was not a fast, and, you know, she's correct. So, but what if one day a week you intentionally fasted a lunch, a dinner, a breakfast, or two meals, and allow your heart to be kind of drawn and consider in that time when you would be, like, eating to, you know, just maybe sit, to pray, to consider what God's doing in you, what God is calling you to do out in the world. Because you see, this is not just about me, an individual. When we talk about fasting, it is meant to be about the community. And that out of these disciplines that we participate in, our giving, our praying, our fasting, I think God will then call us to deeper places of helping to live out this vision. Acts of mercy and justice in the world that will help there be no more lonely, hungry, homeless, or hopeless people. So that is my invitation to you, church. to give, to pray, and to fast with us as we consider what God is doing in our community and calling us to next. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy God, God of grace and mercy and truth, give you thanks for this day. Thanks for your Holy Spirit that is present and moving within us and through us. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts that are spiritual disciplines. And help us, God, to consider how we can engage in them, how we can give, how we can pray, how we can fast. And in that, may we be transformed to be more like Jesus. Amen. Amen.